Okay, gosh, well, heroic. Still here. It's Saturday. It's bet. So huge thanks for coming, Crumbs. And you've picked the best time to come because this has been heaving with people all week. So they can lie down today, which is just brilliant. So I'm going to keep this short because the van's coming to take the furniture away in a minute. So if you're on it, you're in it, you know. Got to be on it to be in it. Sounds familiar. I'm just running on the wall behind me was a clip from some children in the Ingenium buildings that we built in Richmond, in just west of London. And the buildings were designed to get in the way of learning as little as possible, which is a rather nice ambition for a building. You know? And currently we're hoping to find a way of manufacturing those buildings to drop into war zones, which is quite exciting as well. But these kids, having discovered that the building was collaborative and engaging and delightful and collegiate in all sorts of ways, just turned naturally to all sorts of new bits of learning. And what's happening here, I took them up to BAFTA to show off how good they were with technology, and what they thought they'd show off as a project was just remaking Brighton Rock. So they just took the movie. They thought, well, Dickie Attenborough might be around, you know, let's just reshoot it, only this time we'll be in it, you know. So they just chroma key themselves, pop themselves into it, and that's the pupil, that's the film, you know. Very, very simple stuff. So I think, you know, we could dwell on that, but we won't, you know. What we might learn from this is that design of learning environment inspires great learning, and also, rather nicely, that's not my music, but also rather inspiringly, great learning inspires great design. That was all I really wanted to loop round with you right now. So let's just jump forward. A long time ago, we ran a project, which I'm just going to run some video from, but only and you can tell how long ago it was by how tiny this little window is. This was a very long time ago. And the project was to connect up primary school children with secondary school children with researchers in Nortel's research labs. Their average age was, 28, and they all had a PhD. And we came to a show in London, funnily enough, at Earl's Court. And this was 1993, right at the beginning of the internet, right at the beginning of the internet. And the challenge we were running on the stand, a stand just like this but smaller, the challenge was, can you tell the difference between the children's work and the scientists and engineers' work? And nobody could, just from the emails. You know, quite extraordinary. So, you know, all the way through this at BET, what we've learned, I think, from virtual environments is that there are new ways of making learning happen. There is a new approach to learning. You know, mixed-age learning works, project-based learning works, occasional accidental learning works. You're coming past the stand, you pause, you know. That's how, you know, there are lots and lots of models that have worked. What's really interesting is that over 21 years of BET, we've got away with that. You know, we've been allowed, because nobody knew much about technology, we've been allowed to pioneer some really radical new models of learning. What's hugely exciting now, and part of the reason this great stands here, I'll tell you about what's been happening on this in a minute, what's really exciting about all this is that now we're being allowed to build them as well. So suddenly, physical buildings, suddenly policy, suddenly exam structures are all starting to say, hey, that's actually how learning works. You know, let's have a go, let's do it. So, you know, it's a just rather sort of extraordinary thing that BET, being full of mad people trying to invent the future, blow me down, they have done. And I think it's rather comforting. What I'd like to show you a little of is just some of those structures from around the world, some of those social places that other people are experimenting with, just to give you a sense that the whole world's being pretty brave about what learning might end up looking like. That's rather excitingly Rees High School in Tasmania, which was it's a sort of tough end of Tasmania, north shore of Tasmania, and the kids, in a rather nice evaluative way, burnt the school down. They didn't like it very much, and they torched it, which was quite comforting, really. And the school that they built as a result, the kids sat down with the teachers, and the teachers sat down with the community and said, for goodness sake, we can't do it like that all over again. They built something absolutely fabulous. They went through hell for 2 years because they had to camp out in other people's schools while they built it, so it was a difficult time. But it's characterised by these family learning spaces, these principal learning spaces, whereas the children say you have a principal learning teacher who spends all day with you. There's only about, you know, never more than, I think in these it's about 90 of you in each of these spaces. You go into the technology centre or the science block, you go into some specialist areas, but your home is in one place. And you have one teacher that looks after you, and then other teachers pass in and out and pass through. Spectacularly efficient. As one of the kids said, they know who I am, they know what I've done, and also they know what I haven't done. You know, it's a really nice sort of sense of you know who everybody is in the space. Those spaces can be extraordinarily small. If you've been on the stand today, you'll have seen some tiny schools. This one's in the Caribbean, and it's a simple thing, but it has a toilet in the back of every classroom. We're rebuilding schools right across the Caribbean at the moment. The result of the design rebuild is to double children's performance in 4 years. Double performance in 4 years. It's not just about bricks and mortar, you know, it's about getting the pedagogy right and the timetable, but little things really matter. There's a thousand things. If the toilet's in the classroom, children don't disappear off down the road to those industrial toilets around the corner, the toilets aren't full of bullies, and because the toilets aren't horrible, the children drink water. Because they drink water, they can concentrate. Because they concentrate, their performance goes up. So taking the toilets, you know, whenever I go to visit a school, I never ask where the toilets are. They're always down the corridor and around the corner, literally out of sight and out of mind. By building a toilet that the staff use and the children use and girls use and boys use, which is not so radical, it's what happens at home, it works extraordinarily well. And, you know, when the boys pee on the floor, the girls go and sort them out because they know who was the last one in the toilet, you know. And when it's about to run out of paper, they go to the cupboard and get paper in, you know, just like they do at home. So there's a lot we know about communities and family we can build into schools to make them really rather special and rather splendid places. And just to give you a sense of how far people can go with that, here's the Australian School of Maths and Science in Adelaide, which is a huge open barn of a place. It's a bit like this exhibition centre. It can be reconfigured on a daily basis for new sorts of learning. You know, you think, like, I mean, this is going to be a dog show tomorrow for all I know. You know, down go all the stands, up comes something else. Having a school space that you can reconfigure for learning, and this year's learning is a new form of learning, is a really easy thing to do. But if I tell you that that's the staff room, you'll start to see how brave people are being. The school has no proper staff room, because they make the decision that everybody walks through the door, young, old, is a learner. So why would you have a separate room to put the staff in? Why would you have a separate room to put, you know, like at home, you don't have a room for your grandparents, well, maybe you should, you know, and you sort of tuck them away, you know. And it's only got three sides. There are schools at the moment building with no staff rooms at all. The schools being built with glass walls on their staff rooms. And the staff are finding it's very easy to signal that they're busy. You put in your iPod earphones or you just look like you're busy. Children turn out to be really good judges of whether it's a good moment to come and have a chat or not, because it's what they do at home and it's what they do in their everyday lives. Let's look at a couple more of those. Sometimes when people go for these really radical rebuilds, it can be in old buildings as well. This is, I may sing along with this actually, it's quite good. Hi-ho, Silver Lining in a minute, one of my favourites, you know. This is Western Heights, which is in Victoria. And in Western Heights, they've seen the excitement of the new build schools. Should we just go louder so if we can beat them? Yeah, go for it, you know. Yeah, it just about does, you know. I'll keep away from the speakers. You'll keep up there. Keep it there. Okay, that's good. Right. So Western Heights in Victoria, just overloaded and cut out there. They thought they could go for that new model of learning, of mixed age teaching, project based work, softening the timetables, kids coming in early, kids coming late. Not school presentation here earlier today. You know, 24/7 school, 365 days a year. What happened when they wanted to do that here? They couldn't remodel the school, so you can see rather bravely they've just taken out everything that wasn't holding up the ceiling. I mean, pretty much, you know, hope they got it right. And when you look at the figures that result from all that, they are pretty spectacular. In fact, the figures are astonishing. Here's have a look at the change in student morale from 17% to 80%. Have a look at student motivation from 14% to 64%. That's a 50% gain. Much more than 50%. A gain of 50% going back from. You can do the stats. It's Saturday. Have a look at teacher empathy. 77% up from 18%. Well, you can see the figures yourself. Don't need me to spell them out. It isn't just about the building. It's about getting all the other little details right as well. But the point is, at this moment in time, we know what all the ingredients are. We really do know what all the ingredients are. The challenge in each of these individual schools is to build a recipe that fits the local culture and the local context and really works well. That's a pretty small challenge. And I think I'd honestly say at this point that the most dangerous thing we could do would be to not take the challenge and carry on building the schools that we've got, because we know for sure that they're not delivering these sort of figures. You know, that was how it was before, this is how it is now. And I think the thing that stunned me about BET this year is everybody rushing around, starting to be properly ambitious. People walking around saying, I don't know how good learning can be, but I do know it can be an awful lot better than it is, an awful lot better than it is. Well, look, this is a quick presentation. I'm not going to show you much more. If you wanted to see more of these images, like this extraordinary Ingenium, you know, which, by the way, in the early stages of designing it, we said to the children, what's the coolest thing in your life then? And one of them said, it's my mouse. So we thought, okay, let's teach him a mouse, you know. And, you know, so there isn't a perfect recipe, you know. The recipe is about ownership and engagement and debate and collaboration and collegiality. So, and about social things too. Look, there's a school in New Zealand where when you come into the school, I mean, I'm doing a lot of work in prisons at the moment. Tough work, somebody has to do it, you know. And when I go to a prison, when I sign into a prison, it's exactly the same procedure as signing into a school. You stand in a corridor at a window, you know, you fill in the form, somebody puts a badge on you, you sit in a chair and you wait, and it's horrible. So if I'm a reluctant parent who had a bad time at school, the last thing I would want to do on this planet is go through all that again. But here, they knew that, so this is the entrance lobby for the parents. When they come in, that's the blue bit, the school starts where the red bit is, and it's built to feel like home. You can make yourself a coffee, read the newspaper, have a chat, and, you know, the incidence of parental engagement has gone up absolutely massively. So we could look at that for the rest of our lives, but we're not going to. All those images you can get to from my website if you really want to. I just wanted to leave you with these two thoughts, really. There's some very, very cool software out there that kids are using socially. So the social learning environment has become a really, really big part of kids' everyday lives. This is kids doing cup stacking, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. They take plastic cups and stack them in a fixed order. Emily Fox is the world record holder. And she's not bad at it. She's really, really fast at it. And I just found that because I was looking to see who was fastest at cup stacking. But when I went to search for it, you see there were 53,300 other children who posted their cup stacking records. Now, if we ignore that in the design of our learning environments and learning spaces, we do so at our peril. So let's go to the school that was on this stand yesterday, funnily enough, in Haverhill, Castle Manor School. And in Castle Manor School, they like that stuff so much that rather than worrying about how they'd manage assembly, they said, well, assembly is a pretty boring moment in our lives anyway. Why don't we just have a school student media group? Yeah. Why don't we just have a school student media group whose task it is to interview the head and interview the sports teams and interview all the parents, and we'll make a movie. And we'll make a movie once a week, every Friday, and we'll show it on the school network. But by the way, we'll also put it on YouTube. And if you go to YouTube and just type in Castle Manor, you'll find their weekly CMTV reports. 30% of their parents are now watching the school assembly, effectively. You know. So, and by the way, the design implications is you probably don't need that great big room where you can put children in rows and deliver wisdom to them in a moment of daily humiliation. So we can think again. You know. So all I'm really saying is, and I'll say it, stop right here, BET has been wonderful at inventing technology that's shown how cool learning can be. Now we're being allowed to build it, and as we're building it, the kids are busy inventing the next generation of technology. We ignore that at our peril. I'll stop right there.